Welcome to Well Read But Ill Fed.
I think Katie's getting excited for St. Pat's.
Oh, you tomorrow. Know.
You know, honestly, it really, like, I had to really work on not singing to that song.
I know. It's so good.
I love that song. I don't know if we told you guys this, but Katie and I are going to be playing some of our favorite songs that we grew up listening to. Just to, you know.
Just because we want to.
Exactly. Because, you know, the music today isn't the best.
True. But you know what I am jamming out to lately? What? I think it's Bruno Mars. It's that new song. It's,
Like Uptown
Funk. Yeah, Uptown Funk.
Yeah.
I just love it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I think it speaks to,
it's
like,
got that,
our,
like, retro feel, yeah, of just, like, the jazzy, like,
there's a guy who produces songs like that. Like, it says, like, featuring Ronson, this guy. But he's the one who is, is the one who makes the song. He just finds people to do it. But it's his, like, idea. He did an Amy Winehouse, too.
Oh.
And it's got that old school
feel
to it.
I like that. Yeah. I like it a lot.
So.
Well, anyway.
Welcome.
Welcome back. Welcome back to you as well, Annie. I haven't seen you, like, in a while. Like, a week. I was on spring break.
I know. And you look all sun-kissed.
You know.
I'm always sun-kissed. So.
I mean, yeah. I told Annie that she wouldn't be able to tell us apart.
But I can.
I'm still pretty white, so that works.
This is Well Read Yet Ill Fed.
Yes.
Episode Dose.
Dose.
Do. Do you know any other languages to
No,
take
I was
to
thinking.
It?
I'm like, what's German? Du. Du, that's Russian.
Is it?
No. It's just me trying to do Russian.
So we spent the first episode talking about the first three chapters of 50 Shades of Grey. And if you didn't get to hear that, I suggest you going back, hearing that to the catch up to where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be talking about chapter 4 to chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And there's a lot to share. There's a lot to share.
As soon as I walked into the room and he was like, hey, record. I can't talk to you because we said that we wouldn't until we record. So she's like, just hit record.
Yes.
So I'm excited, a little nervous to hear.
I'm definitely ready to unload because this was just crazy. And if you guys remember chapters 4 through 7, I think you'll remember how crazy this was too. So if you have your books, maybe you should like.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot gets revealed.
Yeah.
At this time.
Yeah.
So it's the start of the gray, steely relationship.
Yeah.
If you can call it that, because he said that they don't have a relationship.
Yeah. Well,
It's like an agreement. It is a relationship. It's kind of like a business relationship.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like trading things. But anyway.
So open your books. Follow along if you want.
Feel like a teacher.
Or.
Open your books to pages. What
or
is
just
it?
Listen.
49.
So.
Yeah. So you're ready to just dive?
Yeah, yes.
Dive in?
I'll let you start.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna.
Okay. So I guess where we left off after chapter 3, Christian and Anna had just had their first,
I guess, date.
They
went out for.
They like hung out. It's very like college-esque, you know? It's like, what is it? Is it a date? Is it a hangout?
They went
is
for
it
coffee and tea.
Yeah.
And
I know, it's like funny. I can't just say they went for coffee because she doesn't drink coffee, so. For coffee and tea.
Right.
But, yeah, and then Anna, like the klutz that we continually are beaten over the head with, that she is, she almost gets run over by a bicycle, which I'm like, is that kind of funny? Like, I don't know. I'm just like, girlfriend, like, it couldn't even be a car.
Right.
Like, bikes are so thin. Like, come on. You can't get out of the way of that. But anyway, so Christian, like, has her, you know, in his arms, all, like, damsel in distress-esque, and she wants to kiss him, and
he pretty much is like,
he
so never mind, is pretty much what he says to her.
Yeah.
Which is a little messed up. Like,
don't
play with her emotions. You're taking her on this, like, roller coaster ride.
Yeah, it's like, if you wanted to stay away from her, why did you go get coffee with her? You know, it's kind of, it's interesting. I don't really get him, but.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he intrigues me, though. I mean, in the chapters that we've read, he's very, there's more to him than just, like, fetishes. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would. Anyway, we'll get into that. But I think what's going on here, it's like there's stuff underneath that I'm just kind of like, okay, like,
yeah,
maybe. I don't get what this is about yet. But he kind of continues to play with our emotions through chapter 4. Because, you know, like, they go to coffee and then he won't kiss her. And then he
sends the books to her house.
Yeah, he sends her the books with the note, which is a quote from the book, which is kind of it's weird to me. Like, it's creepy. Because, so the quote is, "Why didn't you tell me there was danger? Why didn't you warn me? Ladies know what to guard against because they read novels that tell them of these tricks." And then, you know, Anna's talking about how that's a quote from the character of the book right after she has been raped by one of the people.
So,
or one of the characters. So that's just like so weird to me. Like,
yeah. So one, why are you sending a couple G's in books to my house?
Right. It's like, why are you sending me anything if you want me to stay away from you? Why don't you just stay away from me?
Right. And then two, you're sending me quotes about getting raped.
Yeah.
How freaking romantic.
Well, I mean, he explains it later. He does say, like,
I know.
Because, I mean, and even reading the quote, it's like, you know, ladies know what to guard against because they read novels that tell them of these tricks. And, like, I mean, this is a book that she loves that,
right,
you know, this woman was taking advantage of.
So he's trying to warn her.
So it's a very
expensive way of warning
literate
her.
Yeah, like, very, I don't even know. But, so anyway, that happened. And then,
okay, so graduation.
Yeah, they graduate.
Comes and they want to go out and celebrate. So they go out to this bar.
Yeah.
And
it's
then,
like, Anna's first time drinking or something.
Honestly.
I'm like, this girl, what? Come on.
As I'm reading this, I'm like, I really want to kind of punch her in the face. Okay, so they're at this bar. She gets wasted. Mm-hmm. And so, like many drunk girls do, what does she do? She calls Gray.
I totally. Like, I'm like, that was taking me back to a couple of my own, like, high school experiences of, like, no. Like, just put the phone down. This is what friends are for. Friends are supposed to take your phone.
There are apps now.
Really?
That's, like, guard against that.
Yeah.
Or, like, texting. Drunk texting.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. So she, you know, drunk calls Gray. And I'm not even that mad at, because that is very realistic.
Oh, yeah.
That's to so what real. Women do. And so, like, she hangs up or something. Or he's like, where are you? Like,
yeah.
He starts, like, freaking out.
He's just like, well, okay, it's so weird. Because she's, first he picks up. And then she's like, why did you send me the books? And then the next thing he's like, Anastasia, are you okay? You sound strange. And she's like, I'm not the strange one. Which I do like drunk Anna. Like, it's, because that is, she, like, acts like a child, which is what drunk people act like. And so I just love, she's like, I'm not the strange one, you are. Like, and she's like, there, that told him. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, he's like, have you been drinking? And she's like, what's it to you? He's like, I'm curious, where are you? And she's like, I'm in a bar in Portland, blah, blah, blah. And then she, like, hangs up, and then he calls her back. And he's just like, I'm coming to get you. And then hangs up or something.
Yeah, that's really
Which,
weird.
Okay. That to me, I think that, you know, it's very nice for a man to be concerned about a girl drinking too much. Because, I mean, it happens often where girls drink too much and then things happen that they don't want to happen. You know, so I mean, like, it is good for men to be, like, considerate of women. And I mean, I'm sure men do things that they don't want to do too, but it's just a man's less likely to be taken advantage of. So, like, I get the whole chivalry aspect, you know, you want to, like, protect someone, but she's a grown woman, like, with her friends at a bar, you know, and it's like, she's not even, all he knows is that she's drunk. It's not like she's like, oh, I'm here and there are 12 guys hitting on me, or like, oh, you know, this guy won't leave me alone. Like, it's just, she's drunk and he's like, I'm coming to get you. To me, that's overkill.
I kind of have a stalkerish situation that I was in.
Yeah.
When I was a freshman in college.
I think I remember.
So I was a freshman in college, and me and my friends, we are in Atlanta for a couple days before we head to Miami. So we're driving my uncle's car, and we're on our way back from, like, this club or something that we had the worst fake IDs to get into. We were, like, let me tell you about this. We were from Vermont. Our fake IDs were from Vermont. We go to this club. They let us in. But the security guard is like, I'm letting you guys in because I'm nice. So he actually finds us in the club, and he's like, just to let you guys know, this is what a real Vermont driver's license looks like, and it looks completely different. Okay, so anyways, we're on our way home, and we get a flat tire. And my uncle and my aunt, they're not picking up their phone at their house because we're actually staying with them in Atlanta before we go down to Miami. Mm-hmm. They're not picking up the phone. So this guy that I met at the mall, like, earlier that day, he's the one who, like, sought me out. He's like, oh, my gosh, you were, like, so beautiful, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, okay. So he's like, oh, let me get your number. And I'm like, no, I'll take your number. So I really did take his number. So I'm like, so I end up calling him because he's the only person who can, I know. We weren't smart. But I was with two other people.
Change a tire?
No, not that time. I was a freshman in college. I'm from the East Coast. We have someone who'll do that for you.
I mean, I'm from the East Coast, too.
I know, but you're from Virginia. You guys learned how to do that in, like, fifth grade. And
yeah. We just hang out by the junkyard, and we just pick up cars.
So I'm with my two friends, and it's me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to call this guy. So he comes in his, like, white velour suit. He's, like, wearing this, like, sweatsuit. It's, like, white. And, like, he changes the tire. He gets all dirty in this white suit.
Oh,
and so,
God.
Like, he doesn't expect anything from me. So, you know, we go on our way.
Mm-hmm.
And we get home. And then I feel obligated to be, like, nice to this guy. Because he had asked me out on a date when we were at the mall. And I was just like, okay. So I was like, I'm going to go out with him. Total stalker situation.
Oh, my gosh.
And even what he's done, like, kind of reminds me of Gray.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
he's, like, the overly considerate guy.
Yeah, he was older, overly considerate. If I was drunk at a bar, he would have been like, I'm coming to get you, even though I had just met you like 2 days ago.
Yeah, so exactly like this. But yeah, that's what that's about.
Strange that he is like immediately there.
I think that's wrong. And then also, Jose, I'm like, what is, okay, that, it just seems like, granted, we don't know that much about Jose, but it kind of seems out of character for him to just be, like, forcing himself onto Anna. But regardless, we're not talking about how well-written this book is.
Right.
But anyway, okay, so he forced himself on her, and then Christian comes and takes her, and she starts puking and whatever. And so then Christian's response to this is to not let her go home with her roommate, or to not take her and her roommate home, but is to just take them back to, or take her, not with her roommate, back to his hotel room. So, yeah, and that's where she wakes up in chapter 5.
Yeah.
So I guess overall, chapter 4 is a weird chapter for me, because the whole bar thing was just weird. It was funny, like, you know, I think it was realistic in terms of what drunk people act like.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't really like that Gray was so just immediately like, oh, I'm coming to get you, like, you know.
Okay, well, if you didn't like that, then just wait, because definitely happened some more.
Yeah. So now they're in the hotel room, and she waits.
And we also get to meet, what's his brother's name, Elliot?
Oh, yeah, Elliot. Elliot the Charmer. Kate is smitten. She's the smitten kitten. But I like Kate.
Okay.
We can talk about that more later.
Why?
Okay. I don't know. I just think she's hilarious. She's like, I don't know. She's just like the opposite of Anna.
Yeah, I mean, she has a little bit more sense. And she understands, like, the game. Like,
yeah, maybe that's it. She has the experience.
Right.
So she knows how to play, you know? And Anna just doesn't. But Anyway, so now, like, so they're in the hotel room.
Right, she wakes up, mm-hmm. and he's...
She doesn't have any pants on, which I was like, my.
You know what the thing is? I think enough people don't... I think because it's written in black and white, you know, like, we can all get swept away and be like, oh my gosh, this isn't really true, so, wow, like, the guy... took off her clothes. He went and got them laundered for her. You know, so beautiful. Imagine that was you. And yeah. you woke up in someone's bed without your clothes, like without your pants
yeah.
on. I would be flipping out.
I would be freaking out.
I would not be like, oh my gosh. So I mean, it's just tough for me to.
I mean, to be fair, it was because she had thrown up all over her jeans.
I understand that.
I mean, that would have been gnarly to wake up to as well.
I understand that. But you have some sweatpants in somewhere. I think he even came wearing it sweatpants at one point.
Yeah, he came in from
okay, so
out.
He had sweatpants, which
you're
is
right.
my point.
He did. So are you saying that he should have taken off her pants and put his sweatpants on her or just put his sweatpants over her jeans?
Okay, maybe I'm looking too much into it.
Okay. My thing that I'm not liking so much is... okay, so there's on page 67, they're like sitting and then they're talking and he's like, did you eat last night? His tone is accusatory. I shake my head. What major transgression have I committed now? His jaw clenches, but his face remains impassive. I'm just like, okay, guy, why are you getting upset by the fact that she didn't eat before she like went out drinking? She doesn't know what she's doing. It was her first time drinking, like, so duh, she like wouldn't be like, oh, I should, you know, like coat my stomach for this. And like, it's not his place to be mad at her for her life decisions, you know what I mean? It's like
right.
that's like a, I mean, our parents shouldn't even get mad at us for like
right.
choices we make. They should be like, well, that wasn't smart, you
right.
know. And like, they're the ones who have like the most authority over our lives because they made it. So, like, you know.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever been drunk and, like, throwing up in a toilet.
Once.
And I have. And Brian actually was one who was, like, helping me. Like, I was throwing up in the tub. And he's, like, rubbing my back
oh,
and trying to get me water. And this was in college. And if he ever said, like, gotten upset with me, like, well, did you eat? I would have been like, excuse me, father.
Yeah.
Who are you? Just sit down and relax.
Yeah, no, no. The only time I've ever, like, thrown up was the first time I ever got drunk, which was in high school. And, like, I hadn't eaten anything because, like, I didn't know what I was doing. And, like, I kind of threw up a lot of places. And my brother was there and he was like, he was laughing at me. He was like, oh, you know, like, he's like, oh, this, like, it's funny because you don't know what you're doing. But, like, it's like, that's a normal response, not, like, anger.
So then she says, are you going to continue to scold me? Is that what I'm doing? I think so. You're lucky I'm just scolding you. Ew. Ew. Ew.
Oh, gosh.
Well, if you were mine, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. After the stunt you pulled yesterday. Who is this? What is happening right now?
I'm really
now?
Seeing the 50-year-old.
Honestly, this would turn me off. Like, let's say I'm anesthesia, right?
Mm-hmm.
This whole time I'm turned on, right? Like, oh, he's turning me on. His weird, you know, innuendos. His weird 50-year-old mannerisms.
I
okay,
said
fine.
His beard at first.
Yeah, I'm so turned on. As soon as he said to me, if you were mine, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week after the stunt you pulled yesterday. You didn't eat, you got drunk, you put yourself at risk. I would have, ew, I would have thrown up again. I would have thrown up again. Like, who is this talking to me right now?
I mean, to be fair.
Ugh, be fair.
I can't figure out if this sense of concern that he has is really care or if it's just, like, a desire to control. But... like, I think that, I don't know, it's just interesting to me because, you know, he's saying, like, well, if you were mine, to me, like, who are the people that are yours? You know, it's, like, your spouse or your kids or something like that. You
mm-hmm.
know, like, those are the people that are like, oh, like, you know, like, Valentine's Day little kiss the hearts.
Right,
it's
right, right.
Be mine, you know?
Right.
So I kind of see him coming from a place of, like, you know, he wants to have her be close, kind of. You know, he wants to, like, take care of her and, like, care for her. But it's, like, it is, it's twisted because he wants to control her, you know. But I do think that it is coming from a place of, like.
And he just doesn't.
Like, and to him, for some reason, like, it's just, it's different.
That's how it comes out.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like, so.
All right, I see you trying to work with it. I see you trying to work with him.
I mean.
Okay, how about on page 71 where he says, sit, he commands, pointing to a place at the table. What do you mean sit? He commands. Well, who are you commanding? And then further down on page 71, your hair is very damp, he scolds. What is happening? This is taking me back to like seventh grade.
I know, when your mother is like, you cannot leave this house without a coat, you know?
I like hate that whole conversation. That at the page 71, the bottom. Hair is very damp, he scolded. I couldn't find the hair dryer, I muttered, embarrassed. Like, I'm so nauseated. Sorry.
Well, right. He should not be making, she shouldn't feel guilty for
like, being a grown woman.
Not having dried her hair yet. You know? Because in my mind, it's like, I don't dry my hair as soon as I get out of the shower. I get out of the shower, I do my makeup, I put my clothes on, and then like, if my hair is still wet by the time I'm ready to do my hair, then I blow dry it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like because she's in the hotel room, so it's not like, you know. And if she wants to go outside in the cold with her hair wet, that is her right as an American. That's why this country is so great. We have that option.
I mean, I'm trying to be realistic. Like, let's say, who's a beautiful man? Like, I think Jake Gyllenhaal is stunning.
Oh, gorgeous.
So stunning. So Jake Gyllenhaal was like, sit. As cute as he is, like, I'm trying to think, like, would I just be like, oh, okay.
I mean, I would probably do it. I wouldn't be happy about it, but I would do it.
True.
But, I mean, yeah, and I think the question isn't so much would we do it. I think the question is it right? Is it healthy? Is it healthy in a relationship for one person to have so much control over the other?
And that's the thing.
Because, I mean, if Brian, as Brian's wife, part of your, you know, role, and him as your husband, is to, like, take care of each other. And so, you know, if he wasn't eating because he was just working, he was really busy, you know, and you would be like, Brian, eat, you know?
Right.
So I think there is some of that, like.
That's true. I hear what you're saying.
Care. I think he goes overboard with it, though.
Right.
Like, because. You know, him being like, sit, eat. And like, he's very like obsessed with her eating habits because later on we'll get into it again.
Well, even on the conversation, so starting to, you know, like Gray a little bit more. Not totally, I mean, he's weird and we know that. We get that. He's very domineering. I'm very.
Control freak. As Anna continues to say.
But at the same time, Anna allows him to be so. And
definitely.
And the question she asks him on page 72, so you're not celibate then? Like, what? So he kissed you in the elevator.
We know exactly where this girl's mind is. Because, has he kissed? He hasn't kissed her yet.
Didn't they kiss in the elevator?
Not yet.
Oh, they kiss in the elevator now, going, leaving. That's right.
Yeah.
They haven't kissed yet.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead.
But I mean, we know exactly what's on Anna's mind.
I know.
She wants to get into her sweatpants.
So, let me ask you as a virgin.
Okay.
Katie is. And I'm not. do you have, like, the desire to, like, have sex?
In general? Or with a person?
Well,
no, but I mean, like, with specific... I mean, not with just random strangers,
right.
You know? There've been, like, you know, like, when I'm dating someone...
You want...
No, not when I'm, like, first dating them.
You know, and this
My
is,
mind just doesn't go there immediately.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's very weird because as a woman and as, you know, and I can remember, you know, when I was a virgin, you're not, as women, we're not driven by like sexual right. urges. Like we do have the certain sexual urges, but that's not like the first thing that comes to our mind.
And especially if you haven't had it before. Because like, I talked to my friends who do, you know, just have sex. And my one friend was like, she's like, yeah, if you don't want to have sex, like, stay virgin, obviously. But, like, once you have it, it's so much harder to, like, not have it, you know?
Yes.
Because when because you just don't think about
it. Right. And when you have sex, it's really hard to stop and to, you know, control yourself. But but as someone who hasn't had sex before, for her to, like, automatically be going to the sex, I just don't feel like is realistic to a virgin. Like, because women, we are so relational. And so for her, I'm thinking she should desire to be with him.
Right, right.
You know, but she's just like, yeah, I want it. I want it. Like, no,
And I mean, even when I do, even when I'm like, oh, yeah, it's more of out of a desire to be close than like a sexually driven desire, you know, like, yes, I'm attracted to the person, but it's not like.
Like, even seeing Brad Pitt or Jake Gyllenhaal, because Brad Pitt is not that attractive to me anymore. Jake Gyllenhaal. If I, the first thing was like, yeah, sex. I want to sex him. I want to sex him. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what the first thing, like, I want to be his wife and have his babies. Like, that's what I want.
Because,
like,
well, I think, because, the same for me. Like, I never understood one night stands because I'm like, no, like, I want continual. You know, if something, like, if I desire something and I like it and it brings me happiness, then I want that over and over again. I don't just want that one, like, you know, do it and then it's done. It's like, anyway.
Page 74, this conversation is very annoying because this is where Gray starts to talk about the contract?
Yes.
And I'm like, contract? This is really weird. I've never heard of such a thing when it comes to a relationship.
Well, did you know that actually in Jewish tradition, when a couple gets married, the mother of the groom makes up a wedding contract?
Okay.
For the bride. I mean, it's a cute thing. Like,
it is a cute thing.
Like, and when my cousin got married, hers was like, he will buy you any shoes that you want.
That's
like,
cute.
It was like,
I did write a contract when Brian and I were just dating.
Oh, okay.
But it was, I did. And I made him sign on. I was like, like, you will love me forever. Like, it was really cute. It was really cute. And I was
That's
just
really
like.
Really funny.
And so I made him sign. We still have it till this day.
That's funny.
We still have it to this day. Okay, now, first of all, we were dating, which means we were in a committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is just trying to, before this girl can get kissed, he's telling her that she needs to sign a contract.
I know.
So I'm not feeling this at all.
You don't like the contract?
It's so demeaning.
I mean,
okay.
Yes.
Let me not even mention demeaning right now because it gets even more demeaning. So, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that I think other people, they're not jaded because so much worse stuff I think happens that we're not even privy to yet.
Right.
Privy to yet because we haven't read on. But let's not overlook the fact that this man is asking her to sign a contract. That's, I think, really. Go ahead, Katie. Make a positive spin on it. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't really get on board with the contract either, because I kind of get the confidentiality one that he makes her sign first, that she like won't talk about it with anyone.
But at this point, she doesn't even know what it is.
Right, right.
So he's just like, "I'm gonna need you to sign something," and she's like, yeah, okay. So then she says, it would explain why he's so rich. Is he deeply religious? Listen, chick. He already said that he's not celibate. So then why are you asking the question of deeply religious?
Is he impotent? That's another thing. It's like, why are you?
Yeah.
I mean,
so
you already said that.
And then he mentions Eve in the book of the Quran. In Genesis,
like Eve,
you're,
so
you're quick to eat from the tree of knowledge. This makes me want to gag.
It's actually the tree of knowledge of good and evil,
exactly.
Not just the tree of knowledge.
Get your Bible references correct.
So, but, well, I mean, she would be learning a lot about evil, you know, going into the darkness that is Christian Grey.
Demoralizing, page 75. Okay. Nothing made me want to throw out more.
Okay.
At the bottom of page 75, eat, he says more sharply. Anastasia, I have an issue with wasted food. Eat. Are you my daddy? Are you my father? Are you my mother? Oh my gosh. Eat. No, I'm not even done. She said, I can't eat all this. Eat what's on your plate. If you'd eaten properly yesterday, you wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be declaring my hand so soon. Holy moly. I wanted to pass out. I think I actually threw it down on the floor of the book. I threw it down.
Okay.
Because I was like, how is this attractive in any sense? Jake Gyllenhaal, I'm sorry. If my I keep using Jake Gyllenhaal. If my husband, who I love and think is very attractive, like, he respects me like that much that he would never talk to me as if I'm a child. Right. And I don't see how that is remotely attractive in any way. So like, well, let me ask you, Katie, hold on a second. Okay. Let me ask you this. Okay. So let's say, and we don't know how this book ends. I really have no idea. So let's say that, you know, these two get married.
Okay.
Is she going to allow him to talk like that to her in her marriage, or is she just allowing this to happen right now? Like, that's what I don't understand. Would this be acceptable in...
I feel like she doesn't even have a problem with it.
No, she doesn't.
Like, I don't see why she would have a problem with it in marriage.
I frown and return to my cold food.
I think... Okay. Like, so. I don't agree with the way that he's talking to her. And I think the reason that she is so willing to accept it is because... Like, this is the first guy that she's had, like, really strong feelings for, you know? And she's so inexperienced when it comes to relationships that I think she... I mean, think about your first relationship, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you just get so lost in the feelings and the emotions, you know, that you're just kind of like... You don't see things that aren't great, you know? Like, love is blind,
you
know? You
see everything in rose-colored glasses.
And so, like... You know, I mean, she even says it. I don't remember where she says it, but she's even like, oh, well, he cared enough about me to, like, come get me from the bar, you know, come pick me up. Like, so she's interpreting this as, like, care. So I sympathize.
So is this a domestic violence book? Is this a book on, like, how to, like, are we supposed to be looking at this character and supposed to be like, oh, this poor woman? No, I think this book was meant for us to, like, get into it and get involved and, like, So I'm confused.
I can't
now,
do that.
Because, you know, what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely does. But it sounds like you are giving, like, a PSA on abuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And you're trying to find the beauty in this. So as a reader, I'm like, okay, if I do interpret it this way, I'm very sad.
Right.
And if I interpret it the other way, then I'm like...
Well, it's... Okay, I'm going to skip ahead, but there's this one... this one part after he goes over the contract with her and, I underlined it because I was just like, that is so
You know what?
Sad.
Yeah, find that because then let's really quickly discuss this contract because, it's crazy.
Well, anyway, I'll just say she says, he likes to hurt women. This thought depresses me. I'm like, I wrote next to it. I'm like, duh. Like, of course it depresses you. Like, and okay, so I do sympathize with, like, both of these characters because even on page 72 when Gray is talking and he's, like, talking about how that she should stay away from him and then he's like, there's something about you, though, and I'm finding it impossible to stay away. But I think you've figured that out already. So I'm not saying that it's a good thing that, like, they're because, like, what they're doing here is they're giving into their passions. You know, like, he wants her, and he wants her in this way that he's kind of learned how to desire women, you know? It's not the natural way. I think we can safely say, like, this is not natural.
And if anyone wants this, then it's not good and it's not healthy.
Right. It's not healthy because, you're talking about is, like, total control and, like, punish. You know, she gets punished if...
Sit, don't touch anything. I'm sorry.
You're right. I mean, even taking, like, the violence part out of it, like, that kind of language is not respectful. But it's kind of like you ask yourself, like, I get it. Like, what do you do when you desire something? Has that ever, I can relate to that. Like, when you know a guy is not good for you, But, like,
I've been in those relationships.
And it's not good. Like, you shouldn't be in those relationships. But I get how difficult it is to leave the situation.
Okay, and I think this speaks to, you know, and I think we already kind of said that you kind of, if any one of us is going to be more like anesthesia, it's you.
Right? Gosh, so please stop saying that.
No. So what I'm saying is it also just depends on, you know, your personality trait, yeah. You know. I am Black. I'm not an angry Black woman, but I do know.
I don't know. You can get Diary of a Mad Black Woman up on, you know, up in here. I've seen it, okay? I mean, I think we witnessed it a little bit earlier.
No. Shut up, Katie.
Threw the book down.
No. That definitely needed throwing down.
But yeah, I mean, I think that, and I think too, like, what this book kind of is, like, showing us, it's an extreme, you know, because not everyone is going to be in a just because, like, there's not a contract in your relationship that says that your boyfriend can hit you, it doesn't mean that you're in a good relationship, you know. So I think, like, there are variations of this in, you know, I think, like, there are bad parts of everyone's relationship, things that that should be, like, changed and grow. Like, we're always supposed to be growing, but I think that, I don't know.
I'm sorry. I want to get to this contract.
I know. Look for it.
I really need to get to this contract because it's really crazy.
But I sympathize with both of them. I think that Gray doesn't. I think he's just has a twisted version of love. You know, like
he sure does. Okay, page 105. Rules. Right.
Okay.
Obedience. The submissive will obey any instructions given by the dominant immediately without hesitation or reservation. Now, I'm not even going to talk about that point. This one, sleep. So now you're going to tell me how many hours of sleep I can get, okay? I mean, and I'm not mad at 7 hours of sleep. I could use that. So I'm not mad at that. Okay, food. The submissive will eat regularly to maintain her health and well-being from a prescribed list of foods. No, you're not going to tell me what foods I can eat from a list. You're crazy. And this is not cool.
Trainers do.
Trainers do. Not the man who's trying to sleep with me.
Well, she's agreeing to it, though.
And she's a dummy. And she's a dummy for that.
Just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, I know you are. And you're doing a good job. Clothes. During the term, the submissive will wear clothing only approved by the dominant. Okay, does this not scream? This is not romantic in any sense. Brian and I, no. I understand that.
Women dress men.
Listen.
All the time.
Listen. Brian and I, we have an agreement. Uh-huh. Okay? We tell each other, because we want each other to be wearing the clothes that we think they best look in.
Right.
Like they look best in. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, Brian and I will go shopping together, and I ask him in his opinion, do you like this? He mm-hmm. says no. I'm like, okay, I want to get it, because I do want to wear clothes that he finds me attractive in.
Okay.
But you are not going to give me you're not going to, like, approve a clothing budget. I mean, if I could go shopping, then that's fine. But,
Well, and this, I think this skirts dangerously on the line of prostitution here.
Well, she does say that she doesn't feel comfortable.
Right. Receiving.
Right. So therefore, we can feel comfortable that she's not a hoe.
Right.
And okay. So
I mean,
so
she's a virgin. I doubt she's looking to just jump right into the prostitution game. But anyway.
So there's that part, which is, I mean, is it not crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's kind of crazy. And if anyone at this point of the book, I was freaked out. Were you freaked out?
Was I freaked out?
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, the list. Exercise. No, let me get into the exercise.
Yeah, I honestly felt, I was like, dang, like, this is like.
You're like, I need to do this. You're like, I need to eat better.
I'm like, yeah, I need to get exercise. More sleep.
Okay, no, but honestly, how many times do we see on, you know, Facebook or you see on these shows where we're constantly trying to be positive, you know, to, especially to women when it comes to, like, body shaming and things like this.
Right.
So, okay, you have to exercise 4 times a week in hour-long sessions with the personal trainer, mm-hmm. and the personal trainer will report to the dominant on the submissive's progress.
Right.
This is
a little bit demeaning because it's like, I mean, I don't like you. I mean, I'd be like, look, babe, you want to hook me up with a personal trainer, that's A-okay. But it's like that they will report back, you know, she has to do this like so many times a week. It's like, I get what you're saying because I'm very pro, like, just embracing who you are, you know, like embracing.
Hey, I try and go to the gym as often as possible. I like staying fit. I like looking good,
mm-hmm.
and I get it.
But Brian like told you to like, oh, babe, you should start going. Because I think a guy would get slapped.
That would deserve a headbutt straight to the face.
I do agree with that. I don't think any man should, you know, tell his wife, his girlfriend, his sister even. You know, it's like.
So my question is, where are all the. I hear all these things about the book, like, oh my gosh, it's great, you should read it. But where are all the feminists at? Like, where were they, like, rah-rahing their hands and be like, what? This is crazy.
Maybe the feminists just haven't read it.
Well, good for them. Okay. Personal safety, good. That's, like, the only good thing that's coming out of this. You will not do drugs. I'm pretty sure she wasn't going to do drugs anyway.
I mean, but I'm on the side of, like, hey, if I want to do drugs, I'll do drugs.
Personal qualities. No. The submissive will conduct herself in a respectful and modest manner at all times. And you are the king of modest behavior. Like, who are you to be telling me what modest behavior is?
I mean, he's very modest. He does all of this behind closed doors, and he has confidentiality agreements. I mean, he is the most modest.
She must recognize that her behavior is a direct reflection on the dominant. She shall be held accountable for any misdeeds, wrongdoings, and misbehavior committed when not in the presence of the dominant. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a book
okay.
about abuse.
Okay.
And I'm going to, like, read the different, you know, whatever the man says.
I mean,
in the book.
One of the signs it's of gonna abuse be the same is thing. Having your, like, significant other tell you what to wear. So that is...
And then telling me to go to the gym, telling me how to behave. And if I don't behave in public, then,
yeah,
like, this is scary to me that this was, like, seen as, like a romance. Is this seen as romance? This is romance, right?
I mean, it's in the romance, yeah.
This section. Not romance, but one bit. Go ahead, Katie.
No.
Put your positive spin on it.
Well, no, I just have, like, looking at the personal qualities, it's like, is it right that he is, like, telling her she has to behave this way? No, but, like, this is what we do when we're looking for, like, a relationship. What he needs to do is be like, okay, if you're not going to act this way, then, like, we're going to break up, not I'm going to spank you or whatever. You won't be able to sit for a week. I don't know. But it's like, so I do see this isn't normal, but I see, like, where he came from. Like, it's extreme. He shouldn't be doing this. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's like, it's not that different from how some people treat their, like, relationships, you know? There's some women who they're like, I'm going to break up with you if you don't do this or blah, 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 mm-hmm. you know? Like, you know, people do this. So it's not right, but it's not so far from normal. Like, it should be, maybe.
Okay. I just want to talk about this really quickly as well. The things that – the hard limits. No acts involving fire play. And it goes through all these acts. No acts involving children or animals. No acts that will leave any permanent marks. And then, he has to write these down. Of course, they all look very sensible and frankly necessary. Any sane person wouldn't want to be involved in this sort of thing, surely. So you see everything else before the hard, what is it called? The hard limits?
Yep.
You see everything before the hard limits as sane and duh, like, of course, like, her reaction to the no acts involving children. Like, I feel like both things that were mentioned should have been.
So you're talking about, like, the rules and then versus the hard limits?
Yeah.
Well, but this is what I'm saying. It's like the rules are more normalized because it's like that's what people expect things from their significant other. You know what I mean? They're like, they do expect them if they met them and they were at a certain, like, physical way they expect them to, like, maintain that, you know? They expect them to, like, dress in a way that doesn't embarrass them. So I'm saying, like, it's not necessarily right, but I think that kind of, like, helps my point.
So I'm going to be okay with this book if Anastasia starts to move him into reality, into beauty, into
truth.
Which I
think he does a little bit. I think it does.
It hasn't happened yet. I know. So until that happens, both these people are crazy.
I don't like that he gets mad at her. I don't like that he gets mad at her for being a virgin.
You know what? We need to say goodbye right now because I'm gonna blow a lid.
All right.
And you're absolutely right.
All right. Well, that's like the last line of the last chapter. So we'll leave you with that because that's where James has left us.
I think you all have enough to marinate on.
Yeah.
So
there you go. That is our take on chapters 4 through 7. Oh, and I want to make a quick disclaimer. Last podcast, we were talking about Annie turning 30, and I was like, well, you're married, so you should be okay with that. I by no means think that if you're not married at 30, then you should be sad and depressed. Very, like, and I was just like, wait, maybe that comes off as that. But no, I just mean that, you know, you're an adult, kind of. Like, you do adult
kind
things.
Kind of.
I don't yet.
So anyway, we're signing off, and we'll see you next week.
Yep.
We won't see you.
You'll hear us.
You'll hear us next week.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.